And joining us, Minnesota's U.S. Senator Al Franken from Washington. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jay.
Well, let's start with a bipartisan win. The Food Modernization Act, you had a hand in that bill, a special concern for tracing tainted foods. Tell us about that bill.
Well, it was a very bipartisan step forward, passed 72-25, and it really will improve our food safety, and lower the number of diseases from foodborne illnesses. About 5,000 Americans die every year from foodborne illnesses, and hundreds of thousands are hospitalized. And so this will create a lot of improvements. One that I was focused on was called Trace and Recall. Basically, let's say remember we had that peanut butter outbreak that actually a woman from Perham, Minnesota, Shirley Almer, died.
Right.
Basically, with Trace and Recall is that a food processor would be responsible for knowing one back and one forward. In other words, where they got their product, peanuts, say, from, and then where their whatever they processed, whether it was peanut oil or peanut butter or whatever, where that went. And then the FDA would have the right to recall this stuff and so nip the stuff in the bud, because what happened was this thing went on too long and we had some needless deaths and tragedies. And so I'm very proud of that. And there are a lot of really great things on preventing these problems in the first place, and then the capacity to detect and respond to outbreaks in the second place. And it's really enjoyed very wide support, and small farms and home gardens and those kind of things are exempt, and it's just a very good law. Very proud of it.
I understand that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce had support of this bill.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Again, wide support. Chamber of Commerce, National Milk Producers Federation, just all kinds of grocer manufacturers association, the American Public Health Association. I can go on and on.
Now, does the House need to act on this?
The House does need to. Pretty much the House passed something very similar a couple years ago. What they'll probably do is pass exactly the same bill that we passed so that we don't have to go to conference.
So we're hoping it gets on the president's desk this month.
Yes.
Well, speaking of this month, we just ran out of unemployment insurance for 2 million Americans. Where do we stand on that?
We need to reauthorize that. We need to appropriate money for that. People should understand that this is not extending beyond 99 weeks unemployment benefits. This is unemployment benefits for people who have become unemployed in the last several weeks or months. And unemployment benefits have actually a great stimulative effect. People who receive unemployment benefits, just by definition, spend it right away. And so for every dollar that goes out in unemployment benefits, it generates about $2 in economic activity. So this is a good thing for our economy. And we've traditionally always extended unemployment benefits when unemployment is at this level. So this is something that we need to do. I have gone throughout the state and met with people who have, with tears in their eyes, said that if it weren't for unemployment benefits, I would not be in my house. I wouldn't be able to put food on the table. We need to do this. And these are people who identify themselves as working people. These are the guys when I was 10 years old and in elementary school and was 30 below, when I got to school at 8:30 in the morning, 8 in the morning, they'd been out since 6:30 delivering papers. These are people who work all their lives. They want to work, and this is what's sustaining them while they're looking.
Well, will we have an agreement on extending or not extending the Bush-era tax cuts?
Well, this is, of course, the $64,000 question, or actually the $700 billion question.
Right on.
What I've always said is that we should extend the tax cuts to lower and middle income people, and which means up to $250,000 of income, So that means if you make $400,000 of income, you still get your tax cut on $250,000. But this is about us. If we don't do this, if we don't cut it off at $250,000, you're talking about adding $700 billion over 10 years to the deficit. And we can't do that. And so it makes sense to me to extend those tax cuts to income up to $250,000. Mm-hmm. And that obviously is the area of contention here.
Right. As what's your best guess on that one?
My best guess is I don't know yet, because the president, we sort of had a plan in the Senate caucus, and then the president is then was meeting with the leadership, both Republican and Democratic leadership in the House and the Senate, and so the president may be working out something that is different than the approach we were taking. And of course, I think the president is hoping to reach some kind of bipartisan conclusion on this, and that would be good.
Well, I know you're on a tight schedule, and before I let you go, in the remaining days of this Congress, and there are only a few left, what else is there that could be accomplished before the changeover in January?
Well, I hope we get the new START treaty ratified. That would be very important in our relations with Russia, which is very important in keeping Iran, keeping the sanctions on Iran, and keeping them from getting a nuclear weapon, which has all kinds of national security concerns. I think that we're probably going to get to, we have to get to the Defense Department authorization bill, and in that there'll be a vote on repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And a report came out today that says basically that 70% of our military personnel said that repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell will either have no effect or improve cohesion. Which is an interesting, compared to, like, in 1948, only 20% of our military men and women thought that integrating the military would would do that. So that, I think, is good news, and I think that'll pass. The DREAM Act is also part of that. And but we, I think we're going to actually have a longer session than people think.
Okay. Speaking of long things, this is given your experience in the recount field. Any thoughts on the current one here in Minnesota?
Well, I just think this is kind of a different one. This one is the margin is. I mean, ours was so close;
right.
It really was. And while I wasn't happy after I won the recount that Senator Coleman went to an election contest, I kind of understood it. I mean, it was that close, And, it would have been hard for him with that small margin not to go to the contest, not to think that he had some kind of chance of something happening. This is just a different beast, I think. And, it's all up to Representative Emmer, but I just don't see. I think this will. I'm following it a little bit, and it feels like there's not much of a change, and it's a lot of votes. So.
Oh, yeah, we're still standing at 8,700.
Yeah,
right.
So,
and a few here, a few there. The movement has been fairly small.
Yeah,
but there's another day left at least today.
Yeah.
Well, Minnesota's U.S. Senator Al Franken, you've joined us again from Washington, and it's awfully good to talk to you, and hope to talk
to
you again.
Always good to talk to you, Jay.
Thanks for calling in.
You bet. Bye.
Bye.